L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Going to be joined by Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst at 8:30. We'll look ahead to tonight's matchup for the Nashville Predators against the Dallas Stars at home at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. Pre-game at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports joining us at 9 o'clock as he does each and every Tuesday. So looking forward to that conversation. Right now, talking Nashville Predators, taking your reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we spent a lot of time yesterday discussing the turnaround for the Nashville Predators. They've won five in a row. They've won seven out of their past eight, and they find themselves back in a playoff spot in the Central Division, holding on to the fourth and final spot in the Central, and that has caused some fans to maybe reevaluate what the Predators should do as the trade deadline approaches here coming up on April 12th, now less than 2 weeks away from the trade deadline in the National Hockey League. And Greg Wyshynski joined Stillman and Company yesterday and had some very interesting thoughts on the developments as of late for the Nashville Predators and how that should affect what they do at the trade deadline. Here's what Greg Wyshynski of ESPN had to say yesterday on Stillman and Company.
Do you buy this Predators run as something tangible, something feasible, that if you were advising David Poile, you would say, you know what, don't worry about trading Granlund to Toronto. Don't worry about Ekholm or Ellis or whatever it is. This team maybe should have a look at it. What would you say?
It's insane. Of course they should sell. What are we doing? Like you said, They're competing as hard as they can, and you have to give them credit for the results. But the ultimate prize is to get absolutely murdered by Tampa Bay, who, remember, is not only the best team in this division right now, but will only get better because Nikita Kucherov is coming back for the playoffs. So, you know, right now you have to give them credit for turning their season around. At least they're making it respectful. At least it looks like they're going to be a team that plays beyond the end of the regular season. Based on these playoff percentages, I mean, they've got a much better chance, courtesy of Money Puck, than do the Chicago Blackhawks, than do the Dallas Stars, of making these playoffs. But making the playoffs means you're just going to get manhandled by Tampa in five or six games. And then if you don't act at the trade deadline, then you aren't making the necessary moves to start transitioning this team into the next phase of whatever it's going to be, because making the playoffs ahead of a broken Dallas team and a bad Chicago team and a Columbus team that's going to fire its coach does not mean everything's fixed.
So that was Greg Wyshynski from ESPN on yesterday with Jared on Stillman and Company. Obviously, some very strong, impassioned words there from Greg Wyshynski, calling the idea of not selling if you're the Predators, quote, insane. What do you think of what Wyshynski threw out there yesterday on Stillman and Company?
Yeah, it was a great take by Wyshynski. Is Jared getting credit for this take?
I don't know.
I mean, it was on his show.
Are you asking because you are concerned that's going to count against you in the takeoff?
Yeah, I want to make sure. I want to make sure that does not – that's an indirect
take. Nothing to do with him.
Yeah, okay. No, I couldn't agree more with what Greg said there. That there's no – and again, we're all just speculating on what's going to happen anyway, but like there's no reason to change to me – at least the expiring contracts approach that you have to have in this situation. No reason.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think what Wyshynski points out there is something that I talked about a little bit earlier in the show. You've got Tampa Bay. You've got Carolina in this division. And right now, like if I had to give a percentage chance on what's going on in the playoffs right now and who would be the favorite to land that fourth spot, I would probably give the edge to the Predators, largely based on what's going on around them. Like, Dallas is banged up. They've not been able to find any traction all year long. You heard Wyshynski talk about it there in that clip. I don't know what's going to happen with Columbus. I get the feeling that John Tortorella's future there is pretty heavily in doubt at this point. So they have been an
absolute. He seems to have no doubt.
He seems to have no doubt. I mean, that was very strong words there. And look, anytime you just get blown away by Detroit in a back-to-back set, it's not a good look for John Tortorella and the Columbus Blue Jackets there. And we've seen Chicago basically in free fall mode as well. So, look, the Predators deserve a lot of credit for what they've done. They've been able to completely change this conversation from what it was 2.5, 3 weeks ago, and none of us thought they were going to be able to do that. So they deserve a lot of credit for what they've done. To me, the question still falls back to, are you a Stanley Cup contender or are you not a Stanley Cup contender? That's what was supposed to be the prize here. That's what the plan was with this core group and with these players that we've talked about for years at this point. There's nothing that I've seen this year that would convince me this team is a Stanley Cup contender. So because of that, I don't know how your long-term view of this can change if you're the Predators and if you're David Poile. There's still some retooling, some tinkering with this roster that's going to have to be done, in my opinion, in order to get back to that point. Now, again, as we talked about yesterday, maybe you can accomplish both. Maybe you can sell off some pieces that you need to sell off and continue to rely on your young guys maybe to carry you into the playoffs. And if that happens, that's probably the best case scenario. You're getting some great experience for your young guys. They're learning what it takes to compete in the playoffs. That's a really good thing. That's very important for the development. We saw it with this young group. How important was it for guys like Roman Josi and like Philip Forsberg and like Kyle Yarncroke to learn what it takes to compete in the playoffs in that Chicago series back in 2015? I think it's an important step. Maybe you can accomplish both. But the idea that some have thrown out there that maybe the Predators should just stand pat, and we've had people talk about, you know, maybe acting like Mikael Granlund is your quote-unquote buy at the deadline, to me, you just can't do that. That would be management malpractice at that point.
Yeah, no doubt about it. On the Tortorella thing, when you talk about someone who, like we talk about voices, that I mean, he's entertaining to us. But
oh, man.
That's got to be a voice with a shelf
it's
life.
Got
right?
to be.
Yeah, I mean, this is the – if the Preds get – I mean, this playoff streak, which is, I think, clearly the longest in franchise history, correct? Since starting with that 15 getting in with Laviolette.
Yep.
Let me see if I can do my math. I mean, this would be 7 straight postseason appearances. That's something to be proud of. That's something – I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with the guys on the ice. They're going to, you know, it just might change their lineup and give John Hines fewer choices. And, hey, you could make a case for that, too. Although, Granlund's been playing well, but, I mean, I think that would be insane to not trade him, honestly. And doing that and maybe someone else, there are others who could be, I don't know, what's the market for anyone else?
I mean,
out there. I mean,
there are teams take Hall. I mean, Brad Richardson to the right team could be used as a valuable fourth line guy. He's got a 1-year deal, but I mean, you're not getting a ton back for any of those guys. Like, nobody's giving you a king's ransom for Eric Hall or Brad Richardson. But Granlund is your key piece.
Granlund's in terms of
the expiring deals,
right? But even if it's more than him, and you get a little bit for it, why not? I mean, sell mode. Last time this. David Poile was in sell mode would have been what off season?
2014.
In 13-14,
yeah.
He was selling? Yeah.
Yep.
No, same thing. I mean, it's
– Then you ended up with noted goal scorer Cal Yarncroke.
That's right.
And there you go.
Don't forget about Patrick Eaves in that trade.
Yeah, sorry. Patrick Eaves came here as well.
Played like 2 games.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Derek from Nashville that wants to weigh in. Derek, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I appreciate the Wyshynski take, and I think you guys hit on it a little bit earlier. I think this is best-case scenario for the Preds. You know, Josi was out for a few games. Ekholm's out. Ellis is out. Forsberg's been out. And now we're making a push for the playoffs. I think it shows you that they can be sellers. Get some really good stuff back to a core group of young folks that were kind of forced to play and now are learning from some key veterans that we're going to keep around. Hey, how do we put together a team with some momentum to get into the postseason and, you know, get some things back? I think Ekholm is probably who we could get the most back for. You know, he's not necessarily an expiring deal, but we could get the most for him. I love Granlund, but you can't be romantic about it. Yeah, we should get some good stuff back for him and add to our already pretty solid group of young players that have shown themselves to be, you know, at least for the most part, worthy of sticking around.
Hey, Derek, appreciate the call. I think he's exactly right. And look, it's interesting because there have been people also that have floated out the idea, well, why not try to sign Mikael Granlund to a deal? Like, why not try to get him here long-term and have him be a part of things as you move forward here? I would guess that that's going to be unlikely as they move forward. I think if the offseason gets back to money that we're used to seeing and some teams and general managers are comfortable giving those longer-term deals with hopefully getting to the other side of this pandemic, I think there's going to be quite a market for Mikael Granlund out there, and there's no guarantee that you could pay that if you're the Nashville Predators. Now, if that is a route you want to explore, you can trade Granlund, get the return for him, and then watch him become a free agent as well this offseason and still try to re-sign him if you want to. We see that happen at times. So
it's not a bad deal.
It doesn't have to be, oh, we need to re-sign him, so let's just keep him here. Yes, you take a risk by doing that, and maybe they go somewhere else, and they go on a deep playoff run, and he falls in love and stays in Toronto or wherever it would be. But in that case, like to me, you've just got to live with it at that point. There are bigger fish to fry with the future of this team than Granlund, at least in my opinion.
Well, and it's not even like the caller made the point there, you know, we don't need to get romantic about it. I mean, it's not like Granlund's one of those long-term guys who fans are that attached to anyway.
Right.
And he's been fine here. He had a really good stretch after the coaching change.
Now, he was largely
before the pause. But, yeah, he has not been as productive as hoped when they made the deal for Fiala. So, I mean, that's a no-brainer. And, look, it is a best-case scenario if you can get in the playoffs because I think it speaks to the fact that you still have some good pieces and a good core that did a lot to get back into that situation when they were down and out, and you have maybe you don't have to have the absolute gutting that, as we see with some of these franchises around this league, sometimes doesn't have an end date on it. So if you can get in the playoffs and then still do some things to improve your future, that is a best-case scenario.
We'll continue.
But you have to do some of that stuff.
Right. We'll continue the discussion on the Predators when we come back. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And how much has the recent schedule maybe caused a problem for David Poile when it comes to figuring out exactly what this team is before the deadline? We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's time to save cash fast with Nashville's best deals. Go to thegamenashville.com right now to get half off a $20 gift card from Grain and Berry in Hillsboro Village. Grain and Berry is Nashville's superfood cafe where healthy meets delicious. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Talking Nashville Predators, taking your thoughts on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jack texts in and says, I think they should definitely sell at the deadline, but to play devil's advocate, how would it make the rest of the team and or the young players feel if they got rid of good players that were producing for them? Or is that not a big deal because they understand that it's a business at the end of the day? How would you respond to that?
I mean, it's pro sports. Everybody knows the score. I mean, it was not long ago that we were wondering how much it would get blown up. Who's getting Ekholm? Not if, but who's getting Ekholm? Oh, maybe it'll be Ellis. I mean, look, these guys, you are fighting for a job, and because of all these struggles and injuries, some of these young guys have had opportunity that they wouldn't otherwise have gotten. So are you going to tell me that the Preds trade Granlund and now they're just going to, you know, cry and go in the corner and stop playing? I don't buy that at all. You're fighting for a job at all times in this league. So they've found some formula that works, and I wouldn't expect any kind of adverse effect other than, you know, you take Granlund out of the lineup. He has been playing well. You
have right.
But you also remember Matt Duchene is coming back.
I think it's kind of different levels of this. Like, I think, yes, it's a business, and the players have to expect that at some point, especially when you've got guys on expiring contracts like Granlund, like Halla. I mean, those guys, you kind of know that if you're Granlund heading into this year, that could be a possibility at the end of the season. I think if they were to deal a Matias Ekholm right now, I do think that would be a surprise to the players in the locker room based on what they've done.
A surprise?
I think it would.
Well, okay. Well, it can't be a surprise.
I think it would.
It's been talked about forever.
I understand, but it was talked about when they were in sixth place in the division.
Yeah, but okay. Well, but surprise, like, okay, it's not coming out of nowhere.
Sure.
I mean, they understand how valued he is. Anyone on the team who isn't, you know, putting earmuffs and not paying attention to the league at all, they understand the value. They understand why people want him. So they're not. I don't think they're going to be surprised. Now, maybe they'll be upset about it because they thought maybe, they've played this well. Now, why would you want to do something like that? But,
well, I think that's why they'd be surprised. It's because they feel like they've gotten themselves back into the mix here.
So you feel you think they feel like they've just erased that as a possibility.
I'm saying.
Well, if they are, then they are delusional.
Maybe.
Because you can't look, man. There was all this fuss made about keeping this group together.
Sure.
So if you're a long-term member of this group, you understand where things have gone. They have gone from right on the cusp of winning a Stanley Cup to, just like Greg Wyshynski said, your reward here is getting thumped by Tampa Bay. Now, they may, in that locker room, they say, well, okay, well, are you sure? Maybe we'll beat Tampa Bay.
Right.
And they can say that, but there's no reason to think they would right now.
Sure.
It's the long-term stock has dropped pretty dramatically over the last 4 years. So they have to understand that in pro sports, eventually that turns into a reaction that, you know, it just shouldn't be a surprise.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kevin in Nashville texts in, the NHL playoffs are like lottery tickets. You just get in and see what happens. How did Tampa do last year? They won the Stanley Cup.
They won the Stanley Cup. We knew they were the best team. I do wonder if it wasn't Tampa Bay, and I mean, technically it still could be Carolina, but if it wasn't Tampa Bay, would it be a little different? Would we feel a little different?
Well, if it was the normal Central Division, right, it would be Colorado at this point. I wouldn't feel a whole lot different about that. They're a machine.
Or if it was a normal year where right. you could be wild card, you know, and who knows, the matchup could be all over the map. Maybe it would be a little different. But basically, knowing that it's them, and I know people want to make the comparison to 17 and the Blackhawks, but that Chicago team at that point is not this Tampa Bay team
nope.
at this point. It's just not.
It's also not this Predators team either.
Well, no, it's absolutely not.
I think people forget, while they were the quote-unquote 8 seed that year, they made the PK Subban trade because they felt like they're right on the verge of winning a cup. Like that's what they felt like. They got to Game 7 of the second round the year before that and lost in Game 7, just got obliterated by San Jose. But they had so much travel that year in the playoffs, they felt like they were right on the cusp of maybe doing something special. I think people kind of view the 2017 team as, oh, that's just one of those teams that got hot and got in. That's not what happened. They were hurt for a lot of that year. They underachieved for a lot of that year. And then they kicked it into high gear towards the end of that regular season, and they came in as a dangerous group into the playoffs. Now, did most people pick them to lose against Chicago? Yes, they did. I picked them to lose against Chicago. But once they got into the playoffs, they had a swagger about them. They had a confidence about them, and they were really good. And I think you saw that, and the evidence kind of multiplied on that the next year. When you go out and win the President's Trophy, like they were building to something really, really good and really special. So I think sometimes people view that 17 run as, well, they just got hot and that was it. It's not what happened. That was a pretty darn good hockey team. This is not the same level.
Right. I mean, that team was, like you said, it was disappointing. It was up and down. It was actually really disappointing at the end when they got the 8, because I think on the last day of the season, they had a chance to avoid Chicago.
I think in Winnipeg, yeah.
But and though most of us picked them to lose, I mean, Jared probably says he picked them to beat Chicago now. But most of us picked them to lose that series. Another thing a lot of people were saying was, what? If they do happen to get by this, they're going to make a run.
Yep.
Because you knew that they were good. And I don't know. It's hard to know with this team right now. They're red hot, and I like a lot of what they're doing. Is it sustainable to play this way and make a run in the postseason?
Be tough. You need a really good goaltending. Like, at some point, and we talked about this yesterday, like, their goaltending is at a ridiculous level right now. If you get that, yeah, you're going to have a chance to beat anybody. But that's very difficult to sustain. That's a whole lot to ask going into a playoff series against anyone, much less a team like Tampa Bay or Carolina.
And who's providing that goaltending?
That's a good question. I mean, we'll find out hopefully a little bit more about UC Saros today and what exactly he's dealing with from an injury perspective. My guess would be it would be him. Like, if you're Pekka, could you go on another run like that at this point? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, it'd be interesting to see how they would handle that heading into the playoffs. Now, we've seen recently teams be a little bit more willing in the playoffs to play both, whereas you just didn't really see that before. Like, teams are more willing to go with both goaltenders at this point. So maybe that's something that John Hines and the Predators would do based on the schedule this year, how condensed it's been. I don't know. But I think in years past that wasn't even a conversation. Now it is.
Yeah, I mean, you have to make a choice, and last year the choice was Saros, and I think that was absolutely the right choice.
Yeah.
And then it just didn't work out like you hoped. Does that condemn him to never having, like, some great postseason? No. But it's not like he was a rookie thrown in. He had sort of earned his way to that opportunity, and it didn't go as you hoped. So,
John on Twitter asks, is there any way to unload one of these players in a trade, Ryan Ellis, Matt Duchene, or Ryan Johansson? I would say probably not at this point. I mean, Ellis is hurt at the moment.
Best option for that might be Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you're talking about potentially an expansion draft, maybe with Duchene or Johansson, but I don't imagine, especially like right now with teams being so hesitant to take on big money and big contracts, I would be shocked if they found a way to trade Duchene, Johansson, or Ellis before the deadline this year.
If you just left one of those centers unprotected, would the Kraken take them? Because I know a lot of people talk about, well, leave them unprotected and entice the Kraken with something to take them. Would they not just say, hey, here's a number one center quality player? A little bit expensive, but we're an expansion team. And
well, I think it depends. I mean, would they have to take a player like that maybe to get to the floor of the salary cap? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, Vegas kind of went a different route of they wanted to be competitive right away. And I think, quite frankly, teams were blindsided by the expansion draft and weren't as prepared as they needed to be on exactly how to handle it. I think you're going to see a little bit more awareness and savviness out of the general managers around the league this year. They're not just going to get totally duped. Like, when you think about Jonathan Marchessault and Riley Smith ending up in Vegas, and Florida was basically like, yeah, here, take them. That ain't going to happen very often this year.
How's that happen?
Yeah, it was almost like, yeah, we'll give you Jonathan Marchessault if you take Riley Smith. Like, I don't know if that's going to happen quite as much this year. So I think general managers are going to be in a better position to kind of work against that. But I don't know. Like, to me, if I'm looking at it from Seattle's perspective, it's expensive. Their production has way dropped off the last couple of years. That's a heck of a risk to take if you're the Kraken.
Do you think that's the way the Preds will go?
Leave them unprotected? Yeah, I think there's a good chance. I think there's a good chance that they'd be unprotected. The question is, like, when you're talking about the 7-3-1 model with the Predators, coming up with seven that are eligible, that need to be protective, but in the forward group, that's going to be interesting. Like, you could make a list and maybe only include five or six that you really want to be protected. So That's going to be fascinating to see how they do that.
And remember that some of the young guys are not
eligible.
Right.
Right. So like Elie Tolvanen, you don't need to protect in the draft because he's not eligible. So that factors into it as well. When we come back, we'll continue to discuss the Predators. Look ahead to the game tonight for the Preds against the Stars. Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, will join us. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, yeah. It's that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. Time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators TV analyst Chris Mason, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer, and Smoky Mountain Tops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. See, Mace, we've set the tone for you. What's going on this morning?
Not too much. Just finished up my cup of coffee, getting ready for morning production Zoom.
Very nice. See, Mace, we talked a lot about the Predators over the course of the last couple of days. It's been pretty incredible to see the turnaround with this group. They won 5 in a row, 7 out of their last 8 games, and now find themselves back in a playoff spot in the Central Division. I ask you, from your vantage point, how have they been able to do this, in your opinion?
Honestly, it's like anything in life. Like, belief is such a powerful thing, and I think finally this group believes in what they're doing and how they're doing it, and everybody on the team recognizes they've got a job to do. There's a standard that they're supposed to play to in terms of the system, and everyone's doing it. And it's such a powerful, galvanizing thing when you have a group of guys, whether you go roster on roster and you stack this team up against another team on paper. It doesn't matter. There's obviously a certain benefit to having a lot of talent on one side. You know, let's say if you're going to play in the Tampa Bays and the Floridas and the Carolinas, on paper, there's no way the Preds should be able to compete with those teams, especially with all the injuries that they had. But when you have 20 guys, 18 guys, it's a cliche, but it's true, and it's a feeling that you get as a team. I've been on teams like that where you've lost your best players, and the guys that maybe weren't such a big part of the team before, or you didn't always need them every night because you had Roman Josi or Matt Duchene or whoever would carry the mail for you. And then all of a sudden, this person, you need Eric Halla to step up. You need Alex Carrier, that's been on the taxi squad all year, to come up and contribute and play big minutes and get an opportunity of his lifetime. And when you go up and down the room and you look at everybody in the room, it's a powerful thing. And you get the best out of people. And right now, they're getting the best out of everybody.
So, do you think, Chris, as you've watched this sort of evolve, is this more of opportunity, kind of being galvanized by the adversity, or do you think it's system, settling in for some guys? I mean, how would you break up the pie of credit for how this has all come together?
I think it's all of the above. I think you need all the intangibles, and they're a team right now that needs everybody to win. If they have, two lines going and the other two are taking the night off, they're probably not going to win because they're one goal games every single night. They're in those tight hockey games. They're playing essentially playoff hockey right now where the margin for error, they don't have a big margin for error. They're getting unbelievable goaltending. It starts with that because I think at the end of the day, if you get the kind of goaltending that they're getting right now, you have a chance to win every single night. And then it comes down to margin of error. It's one mistake here, one mistake there. That's how you win or lose one goal games. And they're buckling down in those pressure situations. So I think it's all. I think it's a feeling around the room. If you hear some of the veteran players talk about having the rookies around and that energy, and you're talking about guys that have had success in Milwaukee, that, this is what they've dreamt of and waited for their entire life. And I know that feeling. I played in the minors for 6 years, and, I'm not saying guys that don't play in the minors take it for granted, but it's a different feeling when you keep striving and keep working and you're told that, hey, this is what you have to do to get to the next level. You got to work on your game, and you're knocking on the door, and now all you need is an opportunity, and that opportunity comes. To have that energy in the room where you have that ultimate appreciation coming to the rink you know, when it wasn't going so well for the Preds, and every day was a battle, and you have to answer the same questions, and you just get stagnant, and you get stuck, and it's tough. You get in a rut, and then you have these guys injected in your lineup that they come and they have big smiles on their face, and they're just happy to be in the National Hockey League, to see their name on the back of an NHL jersey, and they're fighting for their, you know, lives in the NHL to make a statement, to prove themselves. That's contagious. Whether you're a 10-year veteran or you've been in the league a couple of years, that rubs off on you, and that pushes you. That pushes a guy like Philip Forsberg, or, you know, and you go up and down the line of any guy there, that makes you a little more accountable, and that makes you, you know, kind of come together in a way. So I think having that youth and these guys getting that opportunity has really helped push other players, because having a taxi squad this year, it's a different animal for everybody, because Coach Hines says his roster is extended. So if you don't play, you saw Eric Hall against scratch. You saw Nick Cousins. Guys are, you know, every night players in the National Hockey League are having a fight for their jobs, and you see that. Eric Hall is a prime example. I think he's playing unbelievable right now, inspired hockey. He's been pushed. He's been pushed by this situation to stay in the lineup. So I think all of the above, you can cut up everything into equal parts on that pie question that you just asked me, because I think they're all contributing to their success in pool right now.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com. Chris, a piece you talked about there is the goaltending, and I want to ask you specifically about UC Saros. I know he's injured at the moment, and we'll see maybe an update on that today from the Predators. But we've seen Saros have hot streaks before. I'm not sure I've ever seen him play as well as he's played as of late. When he's on a run like this, from your eyes as a former goaltender, what allows him to be successful in this way? Why has he been so much better, so much, I guess, more confident over the last little stretch here?
Well, you get to a point, and it really, a lot has to do with the work around him, too, because it's the types of shots that you're getting. I think early in the season, you know, the Preds' penalty kill is so bad that it doesn't matter who's in goal. You're not going to have success just by the types of chances they were given up. And as a goaltender, in large part, you are a product of your environment. Yes, you can go out and win hockey games. You can get in that zone. You can steal games that you maybe don't deserve to win. But once a goalie gets to this point, that I just love watching, because you know that feeling. The game just slows down. There can be chaos all around you, and there can be traffic and deflections and, you know, odd man rushes here or there, but they're not giving up as many of those either, so it's easier to play your game. But it just slows down. You're able to connect the dots. You can read the play. You can read the body language so well. When you're struggling as a goalie, no matter what, how you're feeling, the game has to come to you. But when you're struggling, you want to attack the game. You want a shot. You're anxious to, you know, to get that feeling, to find that feeling. When you're in the zone, and when you're in the zone, you're just like, bring it on. It's slow motion. You can read the play. You know what's going to happen. You know the different threats and options that are available. And it's such a great feeling as an athlete in any sport, but in particular as a goalie. Like Saros right now, he watches the puck right into his pads. There's no rebounds. If there is a rebound, his head's right on. He's able to track it. It's almost like everything's just working in slow motion for him. And he's one of the fastest goaltenders in terms of his reaction time and his ability to see a situation and have his body react to it instantaneously. He gets his edges dug in, he's right on the right angle, and it's just, it almost looks like the other team's going to have some sort of luck to score on, get one by him. That's usually, you know, how he gets scored on. Either deflection doesn't see it, or it's off his own team. So the good goalies, the best goalies in the world, they can get to that spot and they can stay there a long time. And Saros has shown that he can do that.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer, and Smoky Mountain Tops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. C-Mace, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, man.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, joins us every week here on Robbie and Rex Road at 8:30. And speaking of the Nashville Predators, it is that time of the day here on the program. Time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll see if today is the day. Right now, the Buffalo Sabres losing streak is at 18. Mine is at 21 in Preds Pick to Click. That comes to an end today, ladies and gentlemen. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. for your opportunity to participate in Preds Pick the Click. If you guess the goal scorer, you will win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Going to find the back of the net in tonight's Preds game. Robbie and Rex Road make their picks to click and welcome a listener to do the same. Pick to Click is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, the official vodka of the NHL.
Ah, yes, my favorite time of the show. Time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Nashville Predators taking on the Dallas Stars tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And as we do for every Preds weekday game, it is time for Preds Pick the Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess the goal scorer, you will win a prize pack. And today's participant on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, is Andrew from Bon Aqua, Tennessee. Andrew, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We are doing wonderful. Great. Andrew, the Predators taking on the Dallas Stars tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Who is your Preds pick to click?
I'm going to go with Mikael Granlund.
Oh, I like it. Andrew going with Granlund. Has been playing well. Good luck to you, Andrew. We appreciate you taking time to call in.
Yeah, thanks, guys. You guys have a good day.
Absolutely. You as well. Andrew going a little off the board there. I like it. Granlund has been a semi-popular pick in this conversation. Now, he's played very well as of late. So, no Philip Forsberg selected with the first pick. No Eli Tolvanen selected with the pick by the callers. Mikael Granlund.
Sweeten that trade value.
That's right. Maybe sweeten that trade value a little bit. Scored last week at home against the Red Wings. Andrew hoping for a repeat performance against the Stars tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Robbie Stanley to have the first pick.
All right.
In this competition.
About time.
It is. And look, you kind of tricked me the other day asking me to go off the board, and I did. So I
tricked
took
you.
All your fault, Joe.
Yeah. Tricked you.
I feel like I was really on the right path, and then I listened to you.
But you were right to go off the board. You just didn't make the right choice.
Yeah, if I'd have chose Rocco, it would have been great. I chose Colton Sissons. Sorry.
So I actually led you down the right path.
You may have. Now, I'm kind of debating on what to do at this point because I know which way I want to pick, and I know if I do that, people are going to be really upset. But I'm going to do it anyway. Give me Eli Tolvanen. Eli Tolvanen tonight gets one on the power play. Finally. I get one in this competition, and then I will send some roses, some chocolates, some Finnish fish of his choosing to Eli Tolvanen.
Finnish fish? What would that be?
I don't know.
They have different fish there.
Exclusive to Finland.
I'll have to ask Pekkarinen. What? He's a big fish grower.
Give me Tolvanen. Come on. This is it. Tonight's the day.
I hope he scores.
Tonight's the day. The ceiling is the roof.
I hope he scores, because if he doesn't, and it's going to start looking like causation on your part.
What do you mean start looking like? We crossed that bridge a long time ago.
Well, I don't know that early in the year we were like, oh, every time you pick someone, it guarantees that guy won't score.
Well, maybe not early in the year, but we've gotten pretty deep into that territory now. Now, a reminder for the standings. The listener at 6. Joe Rexroad is at 5 correct answers. Ryan Porth is at 1, even though he acts like he's at 8, and I'm at 0.
And Porth figured out, so we've had 21.
Yep.
Up to now. So you're 0-21.
Yeah.
So I'm 5-16, not exactly. And Porth is gloating at 1-20.
Well, the point of this competition is it's supposed to be difficult. And it has been very much so for me. Thank you.
It's going to happen, man. It'll happen.
Is it going to happen tonight, though?
I'm sure it'll happen.
Is tonight the day?
I tell you what, if it happens tonight, if this happens, don't plan anything for the next show. That's all we're doing. 4 hours of Preds Pick to Click. Me gloating.
Or is today the night that he made the right
today
choice?
Today is the night.
It's you could go either way with that.
The night is today. Ryan Porth, the second selection in this competition today belongs to you.
Okay.
Or the third. Yeah, sorry, Andrew.
Well,
you matter to us, Andrew.
The second of the three of us. I should have been way more clear. Now I'm insulting everyone. Sorry. Go ahead, Porth. Do you need me to read the roster?
I'm thinking.
Can we keep interrupting you, please?
I'm thinking. Don't interrupt my thinking. Give me Matthias Ekholm.
Ooh. A little bit off the board there as well.
A little bit off the board, but he has been playing very well.
Okay. So Ekholm, selected by Ryan Porth. I've gone with Tolvanen. Andrew with Mikhail Granlund. Joe Rexroad, the final pick of today's edition of Preds Pick the Click. Now, remember, we don't know the status of Philip Forsberg. So if you're listening out there and wondering why no one has selected Philip Forsberg to this point, we have no clue whether or not he's going to play. He's missed the last two games with an injury. We'll see what his status looks like today. So Joe Rexroad, with all of those things in mind, your selection for Preds Pick to Click today is whom?
So I took this as a sign. So I want to thank Anthony at Captain Mayhem, big Preds fan on Twitter. He tweets at me last night, cleaning out stuff after having some minor flood damage from Sunday's storms. Found this Preds gem from 2017 with cover story by me. It's a Tennessean. The headline is Prehistoric. And it was the front page of the Tennessean the day after the Preds beat the Ducks to get to the Stanley Cup Final. That night, by the way, after writing this, I went and with my wife and I went and watched Dave Matthews at Ascend, and a bunch of Preds were there.
Wow.
Did not hang out with those guys, but I'm just saying it was quite a day, okay. Quite a memory. But I looked and read the first couple graphs of this that are on, you know, the front page of the paper. And do you know the first two words of that column that day? Do you know what those first two words were?
No.
Calle Yarncroak.
Yeah. Come on.
The year of Yarncroak continues. Because yes. I had forgotten this because we all remember Colton Sissons.
Sure.
Had the hat trick and had the winning goal. So I wrote about the winning goal, but I had forgotten it was Calle Yarncroak who found him for that winning goal with a tremendous saucer pass.
It was.
So I am, and then maybe for the foreseeable future, going with the year of Yarncroak.
Joe Rexcroak.
Or
Joe Davion.
Yeah, Joe Davion Rexcroak, I think is.
Joe Davion Rexcroak. Strikes
maybe
again.
What I'm going to change my name to legally.
Yeah, you should put that on your next passport.
Exactly.
See how that goes
it's
for
due
you.
Due for a update soon, a renewal soon.
That is today's edition of Preds Pick the Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Our listener selecting Mikhail Granlund in the competition. I have selected Eli Tolvanen. Joe Rexroad has selected Calle Yarncroak. Ryan Porth has selected Matthias Ekholm. Andrew, we wish you good luck in this competition. And I feel like, legitimately, this could be it for me. Today is the day. Or tonight is the day, as I said earlier.
Do we get to a point where Robbie has to go off the grid because he won't, like, you know, if you pick, you know, if you pick a fourth liner, if you pick like a Trennan, it's not going to like hurt him if he doesn't score a goal.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, do we get to the point where it's kind of like, Robbie, take one for the team and go off the grid?
I think maybe.
If Tolvanen doesn't score tonight, we're getting close to that.
I think so. I think we're getting close to that as well. Like, what if he doesn't even get a shot tonight?
Oh, he'll get a shot.
You think so?
Yes.
Hey, I don't know that Colton Sisson's got a shot the night I selected him.
I don't think he sniffed the net the night that you picked him.
I don't think he did either.
The only guy on the team who didn't do so. And he didn't need to because they won
7-1. Seven goals.
Oh, man.
Our man Drew Chester texted me and goes, well, thanks for jinxing Tolvanen tonight. You're welcome.
That's the problem. The headline on our video stream right now says, has Robbie cursed Tolvanen?
Yeah. I might need to send a preemptive apology to Eli Tolvanen. Like, if they make him available today at the morning skate, I might have to get on the Zoom and be like, hey, man, sorry, you might as well just rest one up tonight. Just get those legs, make sure they're ready to go on Thursday, because not going to be scoring tonight.
If you did that, you'd guarantee he wouldn't score. You'd totally freak him out. Don't do that.
I mean,
hopefully he's one of those guys who doesn't listen to anything, doesn't read anything, doesn't get on social media, has no idea.
I mean, this is becoming a growing thing by the game where people will tweet me, sometimes just laughing at me, but a lot of times in sympathy as well of, hey, man, really pulling for you in this competition. Like when I selected Sissons the other day and Rocco was scoring 19 goals in that game. Man, people were like, well, hey, man, maybe Sissons will get one coming up in the third period. Everybody else is scoring.
Hey, Olivier got one. Olivier got one in the third.
Yeah, I'm aware. All kinds of off-the-board options got one.
And then Rocco got his fourth in the third.
It was great. I enjoyed it. Colton Sissons got some power play time in that game. Nothing.
And you let everyone on Twitter know about it.
I sure did.
All caps.
Alert!
Colton Sissons is on the
alert!
Power play!
Power play! Come on! Nothing.
Maybe you should have. Yeah, maybe you should have held off there.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to say nothing. I was kind of making a big deal about it the other day. I think tonight I'm not going to say a thing. Maybe that's the trend.
Yeah, there's some combination here that'll work.
Yeah.
Your first instinct today Tolvanen?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's probably not a good sign.
I still think the Costanza method may be the way to go. But, hey, we'll let it ride. And
it's going to get to the point where I'm going to have to, like, sacrifice a goat or something on here. See if I can get these fortunes changed.
That could be good. We got the video stream now.
We do.
Andrew took my pick. I was going to go Granlund.
Well, we've not.
That's why I was stumped.
We've not established a rule that you can't have a repeat.
I know, but we've...
It's a bad look, but, you know, it's discouraged.
It's weak.
Yeah.
But, you know, it hasn't stopped you before, so...
I think I may be the only person of the four of or the three of us that have selected a repeat. I think so. I did it once with Forsberg.
Maybe that's why you're
that
the
could
over.
Be.
That's the karma from that.
Could be.
Is still dogging you.
Could be. When we come back, we will switch gears and get into the NFL. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will join us. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.